Okay, and Heather Rubino, Department of Health in Florida, identify the best queries, monitoring influenza in children under 5 in a timely fashion using Essence Florida Syndromic Surveillance System.
Hi everybody. Again, as you can probably tell, a significant portion of my job is timely monitor respiratory viruses that or had conduct timely surveillance for respiratory viruses that are not reportable and therefore not easily enumerated. One of the focuses that we've been in, and you can see this from this presentation and the last presentation, one of the focuses that we've been having is specifically looking in at-risk groups, which is why we looked at RSV in under fives. And that's one of the reasons that this year we're building on this by looking at also flu in the under 5 age group. So you've seen most of this material before, so there will be a quiz. So influenza-associated hospitalizations are not reportable in Florida. The purpose of this was to determine if emergency department visit data received daily or hourly access through our syndromic surveillance system can be used to estimate hospitalizations for influenza in children under the age of 5 during influenza season. Now this is primarily important because we've done a good job of establishing that Essence Florida has been a very great tool for us to be able to conduct surveillance of influenza in general and influenza-like illness for all ages and all age groups. But I live in Florida, and we have a lot of special populations in Florida. And so it's as important to be able to conduct surveillance in a timely way, conduct surveillance within these groups, because the actions taken upon those groups are different. So if we're looking at the 65 and older community, well, that might have more to do with reaching out to our long-term care facility partners. Similarly, with regards to kids, we know that kids are at a higher risk group, and we also know that in our historical context, that we see the signals for an early flu season in children first. So being able to monitor these and picking up the early signals for influenza-like illness and especially severe influenza-like illness and influenza in children first kind of helps give us an idea of maybe what may be coming for the rest of the season. So we did the same data comparison. The methods are identical to the last presentation. We looked at ED chief complaint and discharge diagnosis data, and we compared this to historical data from the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which are complete but not timely. Now, I will make one mention here when with regards to discharge diagnosis data that may not have been brought out in the previous presentation, which is that data, we're looking at hospital billing codes. So you can expect a certain amount of bias in there as to what the hospital is actually billing for. So the idea here, and it's the same idea that when we're looking at lots of different surveillance systems, specifically for diseases that are non-reportable, is we're looking for the same signals in each of these systems, right? Science needs to be replicable. And so you can feel that pretty confident that if you're seeing the same signal across lots of different systems, that what you're measuring is in fact true and not just a data artifact. So we use the same time period for this. Now we specifically looked at the difference here between the ILI syndrome, which is simply just fever and cough or sore throat, and the influenza subsyndrome, which is any mention of flu. I will pause here to mention that depending on the different at-risk populations, we found that different queries here were more or either using the ILI query, which is what we use for general surveillance of all populations, but we've historically found that for some populations, the influenza subsyndrome is actually a much better measure of actually what's going on with regards to flu. So we use the influenza subsyndrome, for example, to measure flu in pregnant women presenting to emergency departments. So here we go again. You can still see the same seasonal differences here. You can see that 2011-2012 season for flu was non-existent. And that's really borne out in in all of the data for that matter. So what you see here, you see a lot more noise in that ILI syndrome, right? I mean, that 2012 season, which is pretty much non-existent in the influenza subsyndrome and in the ACA discharge diagnosis, you still see a lot of that bumpiness in that ILI syndrome. So what that means for us is that We're going to use the influenza subsyndrome to monitor influenza activity in kids. This was only between the years of 2010 and 2013. I will mention that this was helpful and very handy this year to be able to identify the early movement in flu season. We were able to see that rates of this influenza subsyndrome in kids were double where they were in other years at the same time. So that helped us get that information out to our public communications partners, but also to our public health partners within the community to really target schools for vaccination. We didn't know at the time that the vaccine would be what it would be. But along with vaccination, we also were able to push the message of hand washing and get those messages out early. And so we do hope that we can bridge that gap between the data and the actionable items from there. So thank you very much.